each other. I consider us family. Y'all consider each other family? We should. And y'all really are. Me and Melanie both feel that way, that our church is our family. Anybody ever heard of the series The Walking Dead? It's a zombie series. I know Sam used to watch it. He used to talk about it all the time. He used to watch it. Jamie used to watch it. And a very popular series. I've never watched it. But a very popular series about zombies or something that, you know, try to make other people zombies. And if they bite them or touch them or whatever they do to them, they make them like themselves. And so over here meditating, just this is came to me to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today. The walking dead. And how it's important that we don't allow. Well, just go to the next slide. I got it in writing on here. That we don't allow the death in others to overtake the life in you. It's very important. It's easy to let the death in others rob the life out of us. Because we're around that. It contaminates us. It's like a cancer. It spreads. If we're around negativity, for long we'll start being negative. We're around doubters, for long we'll start doubting. We're around people that walk in fear and anger, we're going to start walking in fear and anger. We cannot allow the lifeless people to rob us the life God's given us. And there's so much death mentality around. There's so much poison around trying to get inside of us. And God gives us some instructions in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about how we avoid that. Because we can't avoid being around the wrong people. It's a choice we make. Now, I know what you're thinking. Joe's like, Pastor, I'm married to Sharon. I can't do anything about that. I understand that. But what Joe can do is talk to Sharon and pray for Sharon and pray with Sharon. And there's people that we just, you know, I know can't avoid sometimes. But the ones I'm talking about, we can. We allow too many wrong influences in our lives because we're around the wrong kind of people. And I don't care what anyone says. We heard this as a young person. Most of us heard as a child. Birds of a feather flock together. You're like who you run with. You're going to be like who you're around. That is so true. I've not seen one person yet that's the optimal, perfect weight and cholesterol level that eats Big Macs and fries for a regular diet. You remember in school we learned that? What you eat, what you are? Well, that's true, right? That's exactly right. And that is the truth. And I don't ever, you know, me and Melanie, especially Melanie, it's okay with me, especially Melanie loves Krispy Kreme. Loves it. Favorite place, donut place, Krispy Kreme. We stop there times and eat, you know. I don't see people in their yoga pants and jogging shorts jogging there and order a dozen donuts. Y'all ever see that? I don't. Well, they do, but they don't eat the donuts probably. They just run for the, all they do? Well, they take the fat out of those. But you are like what you eat. You're like who you're around. You're like, if you watch certain shows or certain movies, that gets into your spirit. You know, if you're around people that are always using bad language, if you're not careful, that's going to start coming out of you. Whatever you're around, whoever you're with, that poison spreads. And that death tries to come in and rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your motivation, rob you of your goals. And so it's better to have one good friend than a billion bad acquaintances. I mean, it's just so much better. You know, we all have a Facebook. Most of us have a Facebook. And we have people that, you know, we friend, whether you got 300 or 5,000, whatever you got. But very few of those are really friends, are they? I mean, really. Very few are really friends. Very few of those are people you can really count on when you're in a ditch. Very few of those are ones that you may even want to hang out with outside Facebook. I mean, a lot of them just aren't probably good for your life. But yet we have them on there, and, you know, they're there, and we accept them because it makes us feel good that we got another person in our friend category or whatever. We try to reach a certain count, and it helps our ego. But there's a lot of people on my Facebook that I wouldn't want to hang out with personally because they don't really probably have my values. But they're people I went to school with or people I've known my whole life, and, you know, it's a way of communication, but a lot of them I wouldn't want in my personal life, really, because of what they bring. So don't allow the death in others to overtake the life that's in you. Let's read Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We've heard this verse most of our lives, and we tend to equate this maybe with marriage more than anything else, but this can go much deeper than just marriage. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Of course, marriage is important that we don't marry an unbeliever if we're a believer. But it goes deeper. Don't be yoked with the best friend that don't believe. Don't be yoked with acquaintances that don't believe. Don't be so tied in and tight with folks that don't share your faith. Because it's going to be a problem. Church, every time, it's going to be a problem. People that are like each other like to be around each other. So if you're really a Christian, if you're really a believer, why is there a desire for you to be around those that aren't? Really? I mean, why is there a desire? They're not going to share your values. They're not going to share your morality. They're not going to share your views. They're not going to share, don't want to do things you want to do. I mean, and sometimes even within our own family, maybe it's brothers and sisters that can't associate because the lives are so different. Maybe it's in your, maybe it's parents and children. I mean, maybe it's an element that's so different you can't really be yoked with them. And I love it. It goes through these verses and gives five different comparisons. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? I mean, how can we fellowship? How can we want to be around someone who is opposite of everything we are? That death will creep into our lives. That negativity will pull us in. I mean, our parents taught us growing up, choose your friends, right? You know, don't hang around those bad kids. Don't hang around those bad kids. And we try to drill that to our children, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But we drill it in there. Don't hang around those. They're a bad influence. They're a bad kid. I know they're doing this. They're doing this. Why are you hanging around them? We realize that that poison. But mama, dad, I can help them. I've been there. I don't wash. You pray for them and invite them to church, but you're not going to. You start befriending them and start hanging. Guess what? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm a big Star Wars fan. Love Star Wars. And, of course, I would be on the side of the light, right? You got the light and the dark side. But I'm going to tell you something. Darth Vader makes a very convincing case. He looks really good in that black suit. And I love his voice. Luke, I am your father. Oh, that's a tough guy. You know, that's a real tough guy. And that dark side, when you see all the things he can do and the fear he invokes when he walks into a room and people know that he can just look at them with and have a mental death grip and they fall on the floor dead, pretty cool. I can walk into a room and look at Melanie and she just falls over dead. Wow, the dark side, pretty cool. The dark side can offer a lot of things that are appealing to the flesh. But what the dark side does, it pulls you into a certain point to appease your flesh, and then you become a slave to all the bad things inside the darkness. You become engulfed with it to where you have no escape, where you have, it drags you in. I heard a stat today talking about drug addiction. It says that if adolescents that experiment with drugs before 18 are more likely to have a lifelong battle with drug addiction. Versus if they wait to 18, if they try their first drug after they're 18, the numbers go way down them ever becoming a drug addict. You know what happens in adolescence, 13, 14, 15, 16? All that's out there trying to make them feel cool, accepted. I want to be one of the gang. I want to be one of the members. I want people to like me. And I'm going to tell you, that dark side can be very appealing until it pulls you in. And then you find yourself in a place of slavery, in a place of no escape, in a place where you're begging for the light to shine so you have a way out. So why do we fellowship with those? You know, if you're not a person that drinks, then why are we going out with people that drink? If you're a person that believes in God, why do we hang out with people outside, you know, that don't believe in God? Even as adults, we get suckered into that. You know what? It is not a good idea, happily married women, to have scornful, bitter, divorced women to hang out with. Don't be hanging out with my wife. I like her, and I want to keep her. You know what happens to divorced, scorned women? I'm glad my man's gone. Best thing ever happened to me. Girl, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. I do what I want. Ain't no man tell me how to spend my money, clean this house. I ain't got to call in, check in, text. I'll be home in a minute, honey. I ain't got to do none of that. I'm free, man. Kicking his hind end out's the best thing I did. You know what happens all of a sudden, Melly? Sweet little Melly. Wow. See what I mean? The dark side's already working. Wow, man. Sound pretty good. Happily married women hang out with happily married women. Happily married men hang out with happily married men. It just makes sense. We should have no fellowship with those. I'm not talking about we don't talk to them, we don't love them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to where we're engaged in our personal lives and we're going out and we're in their world. We got to have a separation. There's a reason for that. Then he goes on, what communion has light with darkness? I mean, he's giving comparisons here. Light and darkness are polar opposites, right? Polar opposites. They can't coexist. Can it be dark and light at the same time in a room? It can't be. They can't coexist. It can either be dark or it can be light. It can be partly dark and partly light, but it can't be both. Because what happens when a room is lit and you turn off the lights? That darkness chokes out that light, whereas the light also chokes out the darkness. But we don't should have fellowship because the walking dead, and what I mean by that is those that have no spirit of God, no faith in God, they're living their lives apart from any belief in a creator at all, or even a higher power, and they're living lives for themselves, living lives for what science teaches them, living life for what their flesh teaches them, living life with no tomorrow, no future. And then all of a sudden, we're around those kind of folks, and if we're not careful, those seeds of doubt can creep in. Seeds of doubt can begin to happen. And we'll start questioning, well, what if they are right? And what if I'm wrong? And what if what they say is true and what I've been taught is a lie? And all of a sudden, we begin to get confused. The devil begins to confuse our mind, disrupt our spirit, all because we made a choice to hang around those who don't believe like we do. The walking dead. Just like the zombies trying to get a hold of you to take that bite out of your neck, whatever they do, I don't know, to try to make you like them. The world is trying their best to make us like them. People are so, we are such, we put such a box if we make any stand for anything anymore. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous the things that are trying to be pushed upon our culture that we're being forced to try to accept. I mean, the latest thing, I know you've heard about this, the latest thing is the federal government is trying to institute laws in our nation to where our children at schools can use either bathroom they want. Now, adults are one thing, which is stupid too, but adults are at least one thing possibly, but now you're going to tell middle school and high school kids they can use the bathroom that they identify with. You're talking about opening up a can of worms, a can of ungodly, ridiculous stupidity. Unbelievable. And then the federal government's threatening not to fund those states that will not comply. Money. Take your money and shove, it's what I say. Shove your money. I am so tired of society trying to force me to have fellowship with darkness and to accept it as being okay and to say, you know what, if you're not okay with it, you're a stupid, left-wing, zealous nut. No, I'm just a child of the living God, and I have some common sense. Church, if you're not even a Christian, I mean, I don't think the unbeliever even wants their middle school boys to be able to go to the girls' bathroom. Are you kidding me? You know what a 14, 15-year-old boy is thinking about 24 hours a day? It's not Taco Bell. It's not, you know, Flintstones. I remember I was there. I mean, man, you're that age. All you're thinking about is one thing. And you're gonna give permission for these boys to go into these girls' locker rooms and shower rooms and walk in. Now, I know sound, and everybody's saying, it don't work that way. Church, it is working that way. Yes, it is. It is working that way. I can go into a Target store right now looking like this and walk right in the women's bathroom. They can't say nothing about me because they said they won't. I don't have to walk like this. I can walk in like a man in my boots and my cowboy hat and go right in the women's bathroom. If people look at me, I can say, what you looking at? I want to see a woman. And I feel like a woman today. So I'm going in, and I can march right in. This is where we've gone. It's not even common sense anymore. But all this darkness trying to invade us. And church, it's okay to be different. The most valuable lesson, one of the most valuable lessons my mom ever taught me It's such a common, basic thing, but it stuck with me. For some reason, it stuck. For many kids, it don't. But for me, it just stuck. I don't know why it stuck. It just did. But she taught me, always be yourself. Be who you are. Don't change to conform to other people. And that always stuck with me. And I was always a little different. And that's okay. It's okay being different. I was being true to who I was. And it paid off. Because I met the right woman. Had a pretty good life being myself. A lot better life than I would have been trying to be someone else. And I made a decision as a young person not to fellowship with those things on the other side, because I realized that the other side I may like. And then it might be too late, because the other side, once again, the dark side can look awful good in the moment until it gets you. And then you're trapped. What accord has Christ with Baal? Also, a translation is talking about, you know, it could be Satan. Polar opposites. What fellowship does Christ have with Satan? What fellowship should Christians have with non-believers? To the point that we're being like them, acting like them, accepting things that they're accepting, and not making a stand and being different. We should be different. We're called to be light. God says He called us out of darkness into light. He translated us out of this into the kingdom of His dear Son. Jesus says, you are the salt and the light, a city built on a hill. Don't hide your light under a bushel where man can't see it. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to come out and be what God's called us to be and not be ashamed of that. We're worried too much about hurting everyone's feelings instead of living the life God's called us to live. That's what people truly desire. Is anybody real out there? Does anybody's light really shine? Or is it all fake? Is there a reality to what they believe in? Yes, for me and for most of you, there is. It's a reality. What you live what you believe. And we should live that and not have fellowship. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Once again, we're talking about the walking dead all around us trying to pull us in to destroy and rob us of the knowledge and truth we have in Christ. There are people that question heaven. They question eternity. They question the future. They question hell. They question death. They question, is there anything after this? And if we allow all of those voices in here, see, we're supposed to protect our heart. We learned as a little kid this too, remember? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That's still a very good principle to live by. If we would watch little eyes what you see, watch little hands what you do, watch little mouth what you speak. I mean, if we went back and learned and lived by that, to realize things come into our hearts and they get into our spirits. And when they get into our spirits, they begin to manifest themselves. And we become like them, zombified. We go from life back to death and living a life of defeat instead of a life of victory. God's called us out of defeat to live above the fray, to live abundantly, to live with joy, to live with peace. And there are people in our lives we have to cut out. And it might even be your own family sometimes. I've told you, I mean, there's times that our own family is the issue. That we got to separate ourselves. We love them from afar. Not a fire, F-I-R-E, but afar. We love them from afar. We love them from a distance. But we just got to get them out of our lives because they're poison to our lives. And they're bringing us down. Bringing us down. Well, church, we need to live and stay in the presence of God. As Melanie sung two songs about that. And let His presence be what's alive in us. Easy to let the world pull us in. So easy to let things suck us in. So easy to lose our joy. So easy to lose our peace if we start fellowshipping with those that don't believe. We don't go to people who have no spiritual understanding about life, real questions. I've said this many times. Don't go to a person that's been divorced 3 or 4 times. That's not have a successful marriage. They don't know. They've not figured it out. I mean, I know some people outlive. I mean, I've had women that outlive 3 or 4. That's different if you outlive them. But if you just have broken, I mean, you don't do that. You know, you don't you know, go to a mechanic who breaks everything he touches and the shop goes out because he tore too many transmissions up. What do you think about his transmission? Oh, yeah, let me look at it. Oh, oops, sorry. I mean, why do we go to people who don't have the knowledge to give us what we need? The walking dead. Man, go to a source that's right and that's real. Go to a source that can change your life. Go to where it's been proven. Next scripture. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. Living God. Our God's alive. We serve a real, breathing, active, present God. We're not serving some idol on a shelf. We're not serving some ritual, ceremonial, religious doctrine that's been passed down with no evidence of reality to it or truth. We are serving the living God. The same Jesus that came out of the tomb lives inside of us. The same, very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside our temples. No longer the Ark of the Covenant carries God's presence, but we carry God's presence. We become the new Ark of the Covenant. We serve a living God, so why are we going to let dead people rob us of a living God? Why do we let, they might be smart, they might be smooth, they might think they have all, they might drive a gold Cadillac and have gold teeth and wear gold jewelry and have a golden pool and golden what house or whatever. They're living the dream, man. They've arrived. Look at all they got. Maybe they got something too. Don't, they're still dead if they don't know Jesus. They're still dead as a doornail if they don't know Jesus. You know, Muhammad Ali passed away this week. Of course, one of the greatest athletes of the 1900s, one of the most influential and polarizing figures of the 19th century. I mean 20th century, I'm sorry. I meant 1900s, 20th century. And, you know, he's very known to have come out and changed his religion, become a Muslim. And he even had a Muslim service, funeral service. Now, we don't know his heart. I'm not going to try to judge his heart. We don't know what happened before death, and I truly believe all that call upon Jesus shall be saved. So we don't know what happened. But if he died the way he believed on earth, if he died and took that to the grave with him, all the rounds of victory on the earth mean nothing now. Mean nothing. To deny Christ as the Savior means death. Period. If you go by Scripture. To deny Jesus as Lord, to go to the grave with that rejection and that denial, all the victory in the world, all the fame, all the money, all the title belts, all the influence he had on the earth, it doesn't mean anything if his hope is ended. And I don't know that it has, but it's a good example to use. Because the God I serve and what he believed in wasn't living. What I believe in is very much alive and living inside of me. I'm not serving an ancient teaching. I'm serving a living God. I'm not serving something that's dead. I'm serving something that's very much alive. So why do we allow the death in others to infect us? I mean, if you got to avoid them, just avoid them. I mean, if you got to just tell them, look, I just don't talk to me. I mean, I just can't, because every time you just pull me down. You pull me down. I'm tired of getting pulled down all the time. I'm tired of letting your poison get inside of me and pull me down. And cutting people off can be some of the hardest things you have to do. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Aren't you thankful that he's our God and we're his people? He knows me by name. He knows Melanie by name. There's no mistaken identity. If I was in the middle of Times Square with 500,000 people walking the streets and a lightning bolt come and struck me in the middle of all that, I think God would know that one's mine. He wouldn't go get confused about, oh, oops, third one to the left of that. My bad. Picked the wrong one. Now he's going to know, yeah, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to see you because I'm yours. He's my God. No matter where I go, no matter where I travel, no matter what season I'm in, he's my God. No matter what dark places I go through, what dreams I may be lost, God, you're mine. No matter what I feel, no matter what I see. See, this journey is a journey of faith. And we don't like that. You know, as Christians, we talk about that. Faith, faith, faith. Saved by faith. And, you know, we're people of faith. We're a church of faith. And all that sounds great. But living a life of faith can be very hard and very challenging. Because we want to see the proof in the pudding. We want to see the evidence. And sometimes we don't see why God's doing what he's doing or why God's not doing what we think he should be doing. And that can be very frustrating for us because, God, I don't understand. I've prayed. I've done this. What's going on? I'm frustrated. Why is this battle? Why am I going through the storm? I don't understand everything. That's when we just say, you know what? I'm walking this journey by faith. And faith means I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to see it first. God, I see you in all things. I've said many times it's easier to prove God than to disprove God. Much easier. People don't say that, but it's much easier. Next scripture. Therefore, look what he says. Look what Paul says here. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. You know what he's saying? Don't be around that which makes you dirty. Just don't be around it. You know, I tell folks this, and folks don't like it because a lot of folks ain't living right, and that's their choice. I'm not to judge whatsoever, but I say this many times. There is nothing wrong sometimes with certain activities, but it's the environment we place ourselves in that becomes the problem. In other words, if I want to dance to Ice Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice, or MC Hammer, Can't Touch This, there's not a thing wrong with that. I about got on the dance floor at the wedding Saturday, did a chicken dance, but I was on the way out, so I just kept on going. And being Mary and Randy's pastor, I just didn't want to embarrass them, so I thought, like, I'll just slide. Pittsburgh, it didn't matter, nobody knew me. I'm going to slide on out. Nothing wrong doing chicken dance. But if I'm in a nightclub in Charlotte, 2 o'clock in the morning doing a chicken dance, I'm probably around the wrong people. Because I'm going to have some honey come up to me and want to do a chicken dance with me. She's going to cluck. I'm going to cluck. And we're going to walk out together. Just how it is. I shouldn't have been there. You're in the wrong environment because, man, when that music's going, the lights are flashing, everybody's half drunk, the alcohol's being passed around, all them spirits are in there, all them married women shouldn't be there, and they're there to get away from their husbands, and guys shouldn't be there, and they're there to get away from their wives, and they're just, I'll go have a good time. And all of a sudden, you're in that atmosphere, and the devil starts to whisper all that stuff. And all of a sudden, you get a little, I don't need it for me, but a lot of guys need alcohol to get bold. So all of a sudden, these guys get bold. Me and Mel never do it. Me and Mel go as a married couple just to have a night of, you know, let's go dance, have a night out. That's fine. And some half drunk guy comes up and starts getting behind her. Well, dude, what you doing? Then a fight breaks out and I break his nose and I get arrested. All because the spirit was wrong in the club. There's just things we shouldn't be doing because we're placing ourselves as a believer in situations that are only going to bring us harm. I'm not saying be a goody two-shoe. I've danced at weddings. And I know there's environments. You know, I don't think dancing at Thomas's wedding would have got me arrested or going home with another woman. That wouldn't happen. But other situation could be a lot different. The spirit was right. There was no alcohol at that wedding, and it was a whole different environment. We have to be careful what we associate with. We're just not that strong. I don't care how spiritual we think we are, how Holy Ghost filled we are, you place yourselves in a situation that's not right, weakness can hit anyone. Anyone. Try going. I've done it many times, and I have passed a test a couple times, but most of the time I fail. When I get on one of my kicks of eating a little bit better, I'll go to Village Inn and get a salad. I tell myself, I'm going to get a salad. They got that good salad bar. I'll get me a salad and water. That's all I'm going to get. I'm going to buy a salad bar and water. And I walk in there with good intentions. And that salad looks really good. But then I sell that pizza, and I'm like, for a couple of dollars more, man, I get it all. You know? And I fail because I'm weak. Because the cheese is steaming and the crust is crunching and they're bringing them out like hotcakes. Even do special order. I'm like, oh my, the salad looks good. But man, it's hard to walk in there and just, I mean, if you're a pizza fan, if you don't like pizza, it's not a challenge for you. But I love pizza. So for me to go to a pizza place and just get a salad is like telling Melanie to go to Krispy Kreme and get yogurt. I mean, it ain't going to happen. Give me a Hot and Now yogurt. Yeah, sure. We're just not that strong. Spiritually speaking, we place ourselves in situations that only bring us poison into our lives. And so we got to be careful who we're around, what we're around, and what we're doing. It's what Paul was trying to tell the Corinthians at Corinth. Look, don't be like them. Grace has came to you. You've seen the light. You've seen the truth. You were blind. You were lost, but not anymore. There's no excuse for you to walk down this dark road anymore once the light shined. Because now you clearly see and you clearly know. Don't be like them. Come out and be separate. And don't touch what is unclean. This is the word of God. This is pretty clear and pretty bold. Everybody says, oh man, Christians have no fun. And, you know, preachers always say, look, we can have a great time without placing ourselves in a compromising position. Have a great time. You know, we had a 40th birthday party Melanie threw for me a couple years ago. And a 40th birthday party, and we had it over at the West Idaho Community Building. Yeah. And she did me a Pac-Man cake, and me and Jeremy dressed up as old rock stars. You had a wig too, didn't you? We ran these wigs out, and I had an AC/DC shirt on, and we come as the 80s theme, and, you know, we're playing 80s music, and we had a great time. But it was clean, innocent fun. Now, me and Jeremy said, hey, bud, let's take off down to Charlotte, leaving one behind. Might be a little different. Like, I excited Jeremy. That might be a little bit different. We might got some trouble. Us going in with our wigs and AC/DC show could have been laughing at us, but that'd been do what? Yeah, we might look a little transgender, yeah. Anyway. That was good, innocent fun. The picture of me and Bob at a what was that a birthday party too? For me? 35th? Well, I'll get you at 45. Got me and Bob doing the hokey pokey dance. We're joining Army and this big burly guy, and we're doing the YMCA together, the old Monticello Fire Department. Great time. You can have a good time and do fun things without placing yourselves around unbelieving people that are going to pull you down. Be very careful of that. Next scripture, this is in John, St. John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. This is Jesus speaking. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. That's symbolic of finding what you need. There's nothing a good old cow likes more than a good old green pasture, right? Chewing on that grass out there all day long. Pasture represents being fed. It represents a fulfilling. It represents our needs being met. We're going to go in and out. We're going to find what we need through Jesus. Then verse 10 says this. The thief, the devil, does not come except for one purpose, to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his purpose. There is no good intention the devil has for your life but to kill, steal, and destroy. And he uses people to do that. You ever went to work and just you come home just in a bad way because you were around someone or a group of someone's that just had a foul, sorry, nasty spirit. And it got all over you. And you come home ill and don't know why you're ill, but that spirit just kind of got on you and followed you home because you were around that. We cannot allow the devil to rob us and steal from us and destroy what God has given us. And the one remedy to really solidify that not happening is to be around the right people. Heard it our whole lives. Be around the right people. Be around people that are going to promote you and encourage you and build you up. Not just going to tear you down. Church, we know our weaknesses. We know our issues. We know our challenges. We don't need anybody beating us up over that. We need folks that's going to lift us up and encourage us and love us and help us and motivate us and remind us who we are in Christ and remind us you're on the right path and remind us you're doing the right things. Remind us you are God's child. Remind us keep on keeping on every day. Reminding us of that. We need encouragers. We need exhorters of the earth. And we as God's people should be that. We shouldn't be condemning and pulling down and judging. We should be lifting up and building and growing. That's what we do. The thief comes to steal. The thief comes to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life, and that life may have it more abundantly. We can live a full, complete, satisfied life in Christ. But we can't let the walking dead take that away from us. We can't let the wrong people come into our lives to derail us, to frustrate us, and to try to destroy us. Destroy our marriages, destroy our homes, destroy our children, destroy our hope, destroy our dreams. Don't let that poison get in you. Hang around. If it's one person, praise God, you got one person. Hang around them. One right person is better than 50 wrong persons. Hang around them. Jesus came to give you life. Do not let the death in others overtake the life that's in you. And it's so easy to do. Don't let the news do it either. I mean, church, there's no good news. We can watch all these news channels and we get so depressed because it's all bad news. It's all negative. Don't let that poison get in there. Don't let the political movement this year get in there to where it disrupts what God has given you. I'm just not going to get rattled by what's happening. I'm just going to trust God. I trust God, church. Am I aware? Sure I am. Do I care? I do care. But I realize I can't change one thing. God's in charge. And the powers to be, the Bible says, are ordained by God. And so I trust that. A lot of anger, a lot of frustration in our country. We got people burning American flags, stomping on them. It's like another country sometimes I turn on the news. I'm like, this is in America happening? It's unbelievable. But you know what? When you have Jesus, you got peace above all understanding. You got peace. Don't let those walking dead people infest you. Don't let it get in there. You get one little seed, if you're not careful, it begins to multiply and take over. Keep it out. Keep it away. Just back off and keep it away. The walking dead has no value in your life. One purpose, to make you like them. No matter what law passes, church, how much the culture tries to shift, how much people tell us that we're wrong for the stance we're taking, folks say, we'll look back 20 years from now and say we were so ignorant, so naive. Church, there's things, yes, we have learned from history. And there are things we did hang on to that were wrong. But there are things that will always be wrong in the eyes of God. And I just don't think we'll look back 20 years from now and say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, transgender bathrooms was the right decision. And same-sex marriage was the right decision. I don't see that happening 20 years from now. The world may say that. But it goes against God's word. How can anything that goes against God's word prosper? It can't and it won't. So we take our stand. That means we're ignorant. It means we're His. I'm proud of the values that me and Melly as a family share, as a husband and wife, the values we try to teach our children, the values that they've seen us live. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. I don't have to be a hip or a cool parent to feel value, even though we pretty are. Christian tells us we're cool. He says, man, y'all go and y'all do stuff. Man, I come on the weekends. Y'all are like, well, I come home just to hang out with y'all. Y'all are really, y'all. You know, it's good. But we don't live to be cool and hip. We live to be the light that God called us to be the best we can to our children. And they can get that light. They not get that light, but hopefully we've shined it. And they go with it or they don't go with it, but we've shined it. I'm not going to let the walking dead get inside of me. I'm going to tell you something else can be the walking dead. Religious folks can be walking dead as well. Just because they have a religious background or they say they go to church don't mean they're the right thing in your life either. I mean, man, I've been around some religious people that'll throw you under the bus in a minute. They'll throw you right under and throw dirt on top of you and bury you before you even take your last breath. Exactly right. It's a very good yes. Because they're religious doesn't mean they're godly. There's a lot of religiosity that has nothing, that's not godly at all. No relationship with Him. Because when you have a relationship with Him, guess what? You're like Him. You reflect Him. You look like Him. You act like Him. There's some identity of Christ in you if you're really His. Something shows. Hate's not one thing, and prejudice isn't one thing, and judgment's not one thing. I mean, That didn't reflect who God is. So be careful who you allow in your life. Be careful. Whoever that is. And if they're bad for your life, you might have to come out and tell them, look, you're bad for my life. I mean, I love you and I can't stop loving you, but I can't have fellowship with you. I can't have fellowship with you. And there's a difference. You can love someone without having fellowship with them. You really can. I mean, if you're, especially if you're family. You just, you know, look, I love you as a sister, I love you as a brother, I love you as a child, whatever, but we just can't hang out because we don't share the same values. Every time I hang out with you, I come home feeling depressed. I'm tired of that. So I'm going to keep my joy. I'm going to keep my peace, which means I got to keep you at a distance. And that's okay. That's okay. We got to guard what God's given us. Guard it. Guard it. All right. That's my message. Go back to that one slide that I wrote on there about the life overtaken. Don't allow the death in others to overtake the life that's in you. Death can spread like a plague. It can spread. You can walk into a room or walk into a place, you feel death. I'm talking about spiritual death all around you. Don't let that get in you. Let that life bubble out. Enjoy, church, enjoy living. You only got one journey, right? You got one shot. Live it to the fullest. You got one time here on the earth. We're here for a short season. Let it be a good season. Let it be. Pretend every day you're waking up to the ocean waves or the mountain views. Every day. Live life. We have more control of that than we realize. We let other people dictate our mood and how we react and how we respond. No more. Don't be yoked with unbelievers. Separate yourself. Say, I'm going to follow the ones that follow God. That's who's good for my life. The biggest way to fix selfishness is to serve others. You know what? I'm not talking about just in the capacity. I mean, you know, you're the pastor, James. You got to say that. And I'm talking about all of us. When you start serving others in any way, start helping someone else, all of a sudden your problems get a lot smaller and you forget about those because you're getting fulfillment in serving others. I was telling my son this the other day. We was talking on the phone. I said, the best way to have peace in the earth, you know, the best way to have peace and to have purpose is start thinking about someone inside yourself. Start thinking of someone else. Invest in someone else. Help someone else. Start serving someone else. And you'll begin to realize there is a purpose to life. If it's all about us, church, there's not much purpose. I've been a pastor. It'll be, we're coming up on our 15th, it's 14 years this month, next month. 14 years next month I've been a pastor. 1 year from 15 years. And I think about what I would have lost out on if I hadn't had the last 14 years of other people be able to help, to encourage. I mean, people like Carl, who was there in the beginning and disappeared off the face of the earth, took my heart with him. He's left and abandoned me, gone. I'm miserable. You know, I get mad at him. Then I feel sorry for him. Then I love him. Then the cycle repeats itself. Because the pastor, you go through those emotions. And now here he is back again. The seed that was sowed 12 years ago has not returned void. It remained. That seed, even though he went through 7 years of marriage, 7 years of being in a false teaching, the seed of truth remained, and he couldn't get away from it. I think about that, the others that have been helped, and man, oh, it's so rewarding. And each of us have someone we can help. All of us got someone we can help. Start reaching out to others and investing in someone else's life, and that'll fix selfishness completely. It'll fix it, I promise you. Let's stand on our feet. We'll close out in prayer for these requests tonight, spoken and unspoken requests. Father, we thank you for this word that reminds us that, Lord, we can walk in life, that we don't need to let the walking dead around us rob us of the joy and the peace you've given us. We, Lord, are full of hope. We are full of power. We are full of authority in you. Let that remain as we travel day by day on this journey called life. For these spoken requests, unspoken requests, Lord, the ones that have passed away and the families that are left behind, pick the pieces up. Lord, for all the hearts in here that are carrying a heavy burden, you see those burdens and you see those needs, and you and only you are able to touch and bring a remedy to the brokenness. And we pray and we lift these people before you and these families and these unspoken requests and all the needs in here. We lift them before you, a holy, living God. And we thank you that you hear us. Bless each of us. We go our separate ways. Watch over us and bring us back Sunday morning as a family, a church family. In Jesus' name, amen.